You are listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, February the 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. And before I bring on our good friend, Wes Reimnitz, we want to talk to you about the seminar that we're having at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet. And by the way, the profits from that will be going to KFUO as we continue to pay them for being on the air. So it's really somewhat important. How do you find out about the seminar? You go to lawgospel101.com and then click on seminars, lawandgospel101.com. Click on seminars. And if you're out of the area and aren't able to make it, you could sign up for our membership site for $10 a month. You get four items, videos, etc. We've got about 70 of them up right now. And we are working on a way in which some people may want to buy the first 50 weeks, or levels they're called. And so we'll give you more information about that. But right now we want to introduce our good friend on this Ruminations Thursday, and that's Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You doing enough good works to get to heaven? That's the correct answer.
Well, it depends on who's defining what a good work is.
You know, that's a very good point. What we're going to be talking about today is the place of good works in our salvation. And let's start off with you defining what a good work is and kind of going from there.
Well, a good work, you know, it's quite a big topic there. When we talked about it earlier this week, I go, yeah, let's do it that way. And I'm going, the more I looked into it, I said, there's a lot to this. And I think first you got to define who's going to define the good work. Is it going to be God or is it going to be man? And if you got man, there's what, 4 or 5 billion people in the world. And what definition do you use if you use mankind's definition of good work?
Yeah, one of the reasons people normally get the question I begin every sermon with wrong is because they're thinking of it from man's point of view rather than from God's point of view. And so anytime we answer a theological question, it always should be from God's point of view, not from our point of view. One of the things we find is there's really only two religions in the world, Christianity and everything else, and everything else is a works religion. What do we mean by that?
Well, it's a works religion in terms of how do I approach God, how do I appease God, how do I get on God's good side?
Yes. In other words, God is angry, and you see, people get this from their experience, so they're not using revealed knowledge about God from the Bible, they're using natural knowledge in their experience, and there's no doubt that when you do good, you kind of get rewarded in the temporal realm. You go to the next grade, you may get a promotion, you may win the spouse you're trying to marry, etc., etc. So people just assume that's how God works. And of course, in every false religion, that is how God works. He needs to be appeased or placated, and you do that by giving him your good works.
Right. You know, in terms of what you're talking about, you know, passing from one grade to another, or you get rewards from your work, we call that in the Christian realm civil righteousness. It's God does reward temporal works that go on, but it stays here. When we look at it as Christians, as a good work, we start with faith and our trust in the promises of Christ for our good works.
Yes, the distinction you're speaking of is the distinction between good works, which even an atheist can do. He can outwardly obey the Ten Commandments, and fruit of the Holy Spirit, which only is possible when one is motivated out of love for Christ. So two people can be giving food to the hungry. The unbeliever is always doing it out of self-interest. It makes him feel good about himself. Whereas the Christian, the old Adam, gives it out of self-interest, but the new man gives it out of love for Christ.
Very, very well said. That's really, that's coming out of Luther's, one of Luther's explanations out of about 100 pages that he wrote on the story of Cain and Abel. Abel brought the first fruits of his flock, whereas Cain brought something. And Luther would reason that it was out of faith that Abel had, that it was acceptable to God. What makes a work good is the faith and the trust and the promises of Christ.
That's precisely correct. And what people don't realize, on Judgment Day, if you look at Matthew 25, what God is looking for are not good works, but fruit of the Holy Spirit, which do not become the cause of anyone's salvation. They are simply the evidence that God is looking for that a person is already fully saved. Because until you are fully saved, which means faith in Jesus, it is impossible to do a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly, and I think that sometimes becomes mind-boggling to us, you know. Am I doing the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe? Yes. God's taking care of everything else for us through Christ.
Yes, I'll start seminars sometimes with a blank sheet of paper, and I ask them to write down the last three fruit of the Holy Spirit they did. And if anybody writes down anything, I say you're in error. Because you would have to consider it to be a work where there is no evil motivation, where the old Adam is not involved at all, and you can't even read your own heart properly in that area. That's why God judges by reading the hearts, not by looking at the results of your works.
Right, God's looking at the heart, but my question to you would be then, does that mean that I don't have to get out there and smile at my neighbor or go out and help them or be a party to, you know, be a good husband, or a wife to be a good wife to her husband, you know?
Well, the answer to that is no, you don't. You don't have to.
I like that answer.
Yeah. You want to.
Yeah.
The more that you hear about what Jesus has done for you, that's how the Holy Spirit works. I've given this example before, but two neighbors, well, the one neighbor just hates his neighbor. He's rich. He's got a nice car, and he doesn't like him at all. He's got a tree where the leaves fall in his yard, and one day he's backing up down his driveway, and all of a sudden in the rear view, he sees this hated neighbor jumping up and down, waving his arms. So he puts the car in park. He gets out, says, "What are you doing?" And as he walks to the back of the car, he sees his grandchild sitting in the driveway, and the neighbor saved the grandchild from being run over. Do you think that he will have a different attitude towards his neighbor from there on?
Absolutely.
And you see, Jesus did more than warn us about getting run over. He actually did get run over by us.
Yeah, I think that's a good response.
So,
therein too, doesn't it also talk that we should be rich in our good works?
Yes, there's no doubt about that. And the Christian is, I don't think the Christians are aware of how many fruit of the Holy Spirit they do every day, because it has become so automatic to us, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, our bodies are the temple, that we have thoughts that no unbeliever ever has. Just go to a funeral and talk to a Christian versus an unbeliever, and you'll see the totally different hope that the believer has, which the unbeliever can't even grasp or understand.
Yeah, many times at a funeral, you would say, you would hear that person deserves to go to heaven because of the good things they did, whereas the Christian says he deserves to go to heaven because of what Christ has done for him, the faith and promises that he had in Christ.
I've often said, if you ever want to know what false teaching is concerning theology, just Google your question or go to Wikipedia. And I Googled in the place of good works in salvation. And I ran across this article by this individual. He's not Lutheran, obviously. But he makes a really big point that in becoming saved, your works don't count at all. So he's very Reformation there. But then he says, now we come to the second most important part of the subject, namely the walk of salvation. And he says, those who have believed in Christ and are the subjects of the Spirit's work, now they walk in good works. And then he says this, He says, is it not written, be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, to me, that is a totally misunderstanding of the Sermon on the Mount. Because right. when Jesus does the Sermon on the Mount, it's very clear what he's talking about. He says, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And what the Sermon on the Mount does is inform you what you would need to do in order to exceed that righteousness. Well, the fact is, nobody can do it.
Right. And that's why we talk, you know, that by faith we are justified in Christ. We walk in faith, not walk in good works. We walk in faith.
Yes. And that means that the Holy Spirit does move us to do fruit of the Holy Spirit, but who gets the credit for that?
God gets all the credit.
Yes. And that's really critical. We're not only monotheists, where we believe there's one God, but we're also justification by grace through faith. But it was so interesting, this speaker, and this is a lengthy essay that he wrote. I want you to hear the end of it. He says, if you are now assured of your safety, I charge you by the love you bear to God, by the gratitude you have to his Christ, give yourself wholly to everything that is right and good and pure and just. Help everything that he has to do with temperance and righteousness and truth and godliness. And, now listen to this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What he does, he puts a huge burden on Christians that you better be doing good works now, because this is the way that you testify to the glory of the Father, which is totally wrong. How do we testify to the glory of the Father?
Well, that takes us back to one of my favorite chapters is Ephesians 2. We were dead in our trespasses, but, you know, we are made alive in Christ. You know, by grace you have been saved through faith in him. It is God who makes us alive through that Holy Spirit working through the word that's implanted into our hearts.
And that is the gospel. That's how people come. And therefore, the greatest good work Jesus says a person can do is to confess him as Lord and Savior. Now, it is absolutely true that you need to be as righteous as the Father in heaven is righteous. Where they go wrong is they think you can actually obey these things in the Sermon on the Mount, that you can take care of your thoughts and your words, which is ridiculous. How do we truly become righteous? And I'll give you a little hint. It's got the word exchange in it.
The glorious exchange that we find.
Explain that, please.
Well, the glorious exchange in our baptism really talks about how it is that in our baptisms our sins are washed away and God takes off of us. It's God who takes off of us the robes of our sins and exchanges them and gives us the robes of Christ's righteousness, which he completed on the cross for us.
There's a pastor here at the International Center who's involved in teaching about witnessing, and he said something that I knew it, but it just struck me the way he said it. He said, you know, it doesn't matter how many people you talk to or how many you don't talk to about Jesus, but it is impossible for you to increase the number of the elect who are going to heaven or decrease the number who are going to heaven. And so he asks the question, then why do we witness if the elect are already going to heaven? And of course, my answer to that is quite simple. We witness as Lutherans because I believe Lutheranism has more comfort in its theology than any other denomination. I don't want to be Roman Catholic wondering if I'm going to purgatory or heaven when I die. I don't want to be a five-point Calvinist wondering, boy, did he predestine me to heaven or did he predestine me to hell? I don't want to be a Southern Baptist wondering, boy, did I really invite him into my heart properly because that's the way they say you're saved. Lutheranism, in my opinion, is the only one that gives the proper scriptural understanding. And you already said it, by grace through faith.
And therein lies where Paul goes on in Ephesians 2. There's a talk about that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Faith first, and then come the works.
Yes. What did Jesus say? I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me,
you can do nothing.
See, that's just so obvious. And yet, why do even many Christians, and I'll tell you why, because their old Adam just wants to grasp some of the worth of being saved. By the way, you can call us here in St. Louis, 821-0850, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. That 800 number is 1-800-730-2727. And if you want to ask us a question about what we're dealing with, we'll be glad to try and answer it. Tomorrow is Open Mic Friday, where you can use those same numbers and ask any question of a theological nature. But listen carefully to make sure that when we answer it, we're doing it not from man's point of view, but from God's point of view.
And I think that's all important for us as the followers of Christ. We hold to Christ. We trust in his word. We trust in the promises of what he's done for us on the cross. And I think, too, then, when you look at it from God's perspective, what makes the work good is he looks to see if the faith is there as in Abel's part. Or I've given them that explanation. You told me the other day about the paralytic and the men who let down the...
Lowered him down through the roof.
Roof. There was a good work.
That's right. But God didn't look at their good works. He looked at their faith. And their faith is what? It wasn't that they're lowering him down through the roof, because anybody can do that. But they were bringing him to...
Jesus.
That's where the faith is obvious. And of course, they got the surprise of their life when Jesus didn't say, rise up and walk, but your sins are forgiven.
You bet.
And the reason he started with that is that's really the main problem we have, and why we have disease, etc., because of the fall of man into sin. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's speak with Roland. Hi, Roland. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Pastor Baker. When you said that about becoming a Christian and then we do good works on our own, where does Hank Hanegraaff, is that his name, on Bot Radio? He gives the answer man.
Yes.
Where does he stand on that? Sometimes I think he stands like that. Like you become a Christian and then you do good works to become perfect. Is that what he's kind of given me? Or I hear him once in a while on the radio late at night.
Yes, I'm not as familiar with his theology in that regard. I know some of the other things he says. Wes, are you familiar?
No. Is he talking about Hannity?
No. Hank Hanegraaff is, he comes out of California. And he has, normally, I'd say 80% of what he says is very good. But
no,
he's a religious talk show host. Individual. And so I'm not really sure. He's called the Bible Answer Man.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And he is not Lutheran. I do know that. So
he preaches infant baptism. He said that one night. He's for infant baptism.
Yes, that I do know. He's very good also on creation.
He does
have some great things on that. Right. But as to what he says, I'm not really quite sure. I would just be kind of having to kind of guess at this point. But I actually have his book at home. One of them that has Bible answers. So it'd be something maybe to kind of take a look at. But go ahead.
I would say that, you know, I don't know what he says, but I would say, wouldn't we say one of the standards is take a look at Ephesians 2, you know, 8 to 10, by grace through faith you are saved. And we are his workmanship. It's faith first, and then it's the works. And if that's what he's saying, then he's on target. It's the word.
Yeah, it gets more complex. You really want to look carefully at his words, because like this one individual, he leaves his folks in the lurch, saying that therefore you really need to be doing good works. And so this really puts them back under the law, because it's impossible for me to know when I do a clean gift of the Holy Spirit. I can't even read my own heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, he says some big words once in a while that I don't know. I don't comprehend. They're mighty big words, and I just wondered.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I don't have more information on that. We may do a little work on that and then speak about it tomorrow on Open Mic Friday. So, Roland,
I'll be listening.
Tune in tomorrow, and I'll see what I can come up with.
Thank you very much.
Okay, God bless. Yeah, we don't promise to be able to answer every question for two reasons. Sometimes God doesn't give an answer. So you kind of look in the Bible and look up Hanegraaff, because just so happens he's not in there, the name. But we can still do some work and try and find out what his view of salvation is. I've got a pretty good guess, I think, but I want to get the background and see what just that means.
Well, isn't though that part of our job as pastors? I mean, I'm sure even in your Bible class, you know, once in a great while, over there at Emmanuel Olivet, they may come up with a question. You say, wait, I have to get back to you. You know, that's the job that we do as pastors, is we want to make sure we get a clear picture for an answer that we give to them from the scriptures.
Yes. And, of course, that never happens to you, because you already know the answer, don't you?
Oh, there has been many a time in Bible class where they have stumped me, and I said, I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Yeah, although I don't remember the last time somebody asked about the verb form of a Greek word.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, the questions are usually pretty simple. And if you have a good concordance, you know, you can usually find out just by looking up the Bible and seeing what it has to say.
No, but it tends to be like the caller there, that it's about somebody who had said something, and you got to go back in and research what was really said and how it was said and the circumstances and how does it fit with Scripture.
And that's why we're Lutheran. We judge everything by the Scripture. Like we said, if I ever say something wrong or against what you believe, phone us, ask where it's in the Bible. If we can't find it, change the station, because we're false teachers.
And that's where we started this morning, you know. Whose definition of good work do you use? Do you use a man's good definition, or do you use God? And if you're going to use God, then you go back to the words that he has given to us in the Bible.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you very much for being with us today, Wes, and we'll look forward to having you back next Thursday, God willing.
Thank you.
Okay. And that was Wes Reimnitz. He's in Illinois, but a great theologian and very helpful. By the way, I'm going to be preaching in Rolla, Missouri. I have actually a seminar on Saturday night, but you already should have signed up for that if you're coming. And then we're going to be also Sunday morning teaching at both services, as well as doing the Bible study. That's at, I believe it's Emmanuel Rolla. And I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. And if you want to attend the seminar in Olivet, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Olivet, Missouri, Olive Boulevard. It's real close to Lindbergh. You can go east on Olive, go back past one church. The second church you see is Emmanuel on the left. It's from 1 to 4:30, February the 21st. And so we encourage you to be there. And if you want to sign up for it ahead of time, and we do like to know how many people are coming so we can decide what we're doing for refreshments. although we're not going to turn anybody away if you show up at the door. You go to lawandgospel101.com, and then you'll see seminars when the website opens up. Just click on seminars to give you all the details. And I tell you, it's $20 an adult, $15 for youth and college and below. But with that registration, you will have a choice of any book that we're bringing with us. We have a publishing company, and a number of those books are, you know, $17 each. So if you get a book and you have a lot of refreshments, guess what? The seminar is free. So lawandgospel101.com. And if you want to email me anything about tomorrow's Open Mic Friday, you go to lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.